You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
As much as we can, we want to acknowledge your grace and faithfulness toward us and call attention to our limitations and how much we need your energizing force in our life. Consequently, we pray for your grace in a very special way for the material that we have to handle this morning, Father. As you energize in us yourself, for it is you who works in us both to will to do of your good pleasure. May this be true of every heart here today. As you move in our midst, anoint us afresh with yourself, in order that the things that we talk about here may accomplish the desired end of your hidden purposes on our behalf and the glory of your great Son. Thus we would thank you for attending to every detail. In that spirit of trust in you, help us to worship now in spirit and truth. This your grace, your blessing, for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen. In the broad field of the government of God that we've been considering as a background of all the things we've been talking about these few months, much today speaks about the return of the Lord to set up his kingdom. And certainly that is a high calling. But we learned, you remember 2 weeks ago, in the book of Colossians, that we've already been rescued into the kingdom of his dear Son. We don't have to wait for that. We're already there. We read in the prayer of Paul this morning that we might come to realize that we've been raised together, seated together in the heavenlies. These great truths that Paul refers to as the mystery, which simply means the secret of God, the sacred secret of God was made known to the Apostle Paul concerning these subjects. And so that you would have no doubt about this, there were no afterthought on God's part. Because we read in the first chapter of Ephesians in the verses 3 and 4, where Paul is speaking concerning us, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath past tense." These verbs are all passive and they're past. "Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the super heavens in Christ." Notice, "and he did this according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." That's why we read earlier that "for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you're here this morning as a child of God, you're here because God chose you before the foundation of the world. Let that take hold of you. When Christ died on the tree, he died for the sins of the world. And as many as would receive him, to them gave he authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This is hard for us to grasp, because we recognize that we're very much alive in one sense of the word. The very fact that you're here and can receive what is said tells me that you're alive. And yet, God declares concerning us that we have died with Christ and our life is hid with him. 2,000 years ago, every one of us who received Christ died. A dead man, beloved, cannot do anything. This is the new creation in Christ Jesus that we read about earlier. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's a very confusing thing. We're told we've been made alive, raised up and seated together in the heavenlies. These are, as I say, all past tense. They're all passive. The things that were done on our behalf, we had nothing to do with it. Now, as we struggle through this life, and it is a struggle, it's a warfare. In fact, we're going to be dealing with that warfare next Sunday. It is a warfare. And if you don't realize you're in a war, then you must be a casualty on the side that's been recuperating so long that you don't know the war is on. And in the warfare, our old nature raises its head over and over again. It sort of reminds me of a story that my old mentor, Dr. Hull, used to tell about Greek mythology. You cut off one head of the dragon, and two more of them pop back. This is sort of the way it is with the old man, the natural man. And he caused us many embarrassments. That's why Paul cried out in the 7th chapter of Romans, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" This is perhaps illustrated well in Roman law. There were some crimes under the Roman system in the field of murder. One of the sentences was that you had that person that you killed chained to you and you had to carry it around the rest of your life. That's sort of the way it is with us. And the stench of that old man is an embarrassment to us. It's what we call sin. It's what it is, sin. The world is trying to make this world a better place. You ever notice that? All the movements, that's what they're about, to make us a better place. But you know, beloved, our citizenship is not here. We want to occupy to the glory of His Son until He comes. That's all. Our citizenship is not here. It's in the heavens. That's why we're called ambassadors. An ambassador is the representative of another country. Our citizenship is there. That's where our hopes is. That's why we read 2 Sundays ago, "Set your affection on things above. Seek those things that are above." All these paradoxical truths are crystallized and demonstrated to us in the incarnation itself. Jesus Christ is probably the greatest paradox, or is the greatest paradox, I'll put it that way, of all history. He is the Almighty God, the El Shaddai, the great Jehovah. Took upon Himself the form of a man. He's a man, very man. He's God, very God. If that's not a paradox, I don't know what is. All the great truths of the Bible are that away. On the one hand, I'm alive. That's the new man in Christ Jesus. On the other hand, I'm a dead man. That's the old nature. And I have to live with that, fella. This is why, if you do not recognize the fact that you're complete in Christ, as you drag this old man around, and he embarrasses you every day, you have to keep close accounts with God. You don't have to wait till prayer time to do this, beloved. As you walk in your daily walk, keep this in mind. My relationship to God is perfect. My life is hid in Christ Jesus. The sin question has been settled, and yet the old man, this embarrassment, this sin that's so prevalent everywhere I turn, is a frustrating thing. It's a paradox to me. God says He's dead. He don't look like it, but that's the way God sees it. The sun is shining beautiful from heaven, but the cloud that separates the sunshine is the old man and his sin. This is why, so that that cloud never interferes, we have it written. If we say that we have no sin, the old man with us, then we deceive ourselves. On the other hand, if we acknowledge this, confess this, that's what that word confession means. If we're in complete agreement, we understand, and we agree with God about this thing. The blood of Jesus Christ, and this is a continuous action verb, continuously cleanses. You see, the break of fellowship is not from God's point of view. The break of fellowship is from your point of view. As you walk down the street and you lust after this thing or that thing, the Holy Spirit, if you're walking in the light as He's in the light, will call your attention to that fact. And you say, "That's right, Father. That old man is sure giving me a bad time. I'd sure like to participate in that, but I got to keep on walking here." The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing. My relationship is never broken. My relationship is established in Christ Jesus. My life is hidden in Him. But my fellowship, my getting along with Him, is determined upon the fact that I keep these close accounts with Him. Every touch of my life, every second of my life, is His. Notice, it's God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Not your good pleasure, His good pleasure. This is why so many of God's people are so miserable, because they don't keep close accounts with God. Now, as we move into these last days, we saw last week, the last days, you don't have to cry out to God to forgive you. He already has. You have to cry out to God and say, "Thank you, Father, that old man raised his head there, and I'm so glad that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing." That's what confession means, beloved. Any other confession that you pay for is a license to do something. I touched on this once before. Now, most all of Christendom in some form is guilty of this, but Romanism is the worst offender. It has a priesthood. You can go in and make your confession to Him, and He gives you a penance to carry out, like three Hail Marys or something like that. You do something to pay for that sin. That's the denial of the efficacy of the blood of Christ. You see? That sin, the sin question is settled, although we're carrying it around everywhere we go. I must keep in complete agreement with God about this thing if I'm to walk in fellowship. Now, in these last days, and you remember in 2 Timothy, we looked at that last week, the perilous days in which we live. On every hand, this Marxist evangelism, which in this country is called humanism, touches every phase of our life. It raises its ugly head. And we need to be aware of this because it so contaminates the environment of our life. It's so easy to slip into it one way or another, to get involved in some form of humanism. Let's say next week we're going to be dealing with the whole armor of God in the warfare itself. But as we draw closer to the time of our Lord's great intervention, and I believe it's coming and coming soon because the buildup gets heavier and heavier every day. And if you want to see the real buildup, keep your eye on the Middle East. Don't worry about what's happening over here. I don't mean to ignore what's happening here because that's all in the pattern too. But keep your eye on the Middle East. This is the key to what's happening in this old world today. And the thing is boiling to a point. Pressures are coming. If you think that this man who wrote this letter to me from the Philippines is under pressure from the communists there, you should see some of the parts of the world. At least he's able to move and operate. If you were in Russia today and a Christian, you'd have to meet I mean a real Christian. Now, they have a religious forum where it looked like they're carrying on religious. But I'm talking about true Christian worship. You've got to meet underground. The same thing in China. They've all got fronts. But the real thing is not carried on there. We ought to be so grateful we can meet here and talk about that this morning. No wonder we need the prayer, the assurance that God is making no mistake, that everything has been marked off for us to walk in. Now, I'll quote again. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He hath before marked off, that we should walk in it. Every day of your life is marked off. And the reason you become miserable is because you're not walking in that place that's marked off for you. I can't make it any plainer than that. And as we get closer and closer to the things that we looked at last week in the last days, the pressures are going to build up on every hand. Deception is coming on every hand. I noticed this morning, James and his wife went to some meeting this morning and brought back some records that they're propagandizing our young people with. And they're playing them backwards back there this morning. And if you want to know how the enemy works, he doesn't rest a minute. He's busy night and day on every hand. That's only one phase of his operation. He turns everything. Look, we're not in the majority. We're a minority. Get that in your mind. Even in America, think about this. In the name of Christianity, you have the National and World Council of Churches, which comprises most of our big organizations, along with Romanism. And that knocks about, incorporates about 80 to 85% of the religions of America in those two systems right there. Then you have all the cults, and you got those two, plenty of them. You got those fellas. You got the Jehovah's Witnesses. You got the Mormons. You got the Seventh-day Adventists. You got the Christian Science. You got all of these people. And all of them deny the true Christ of the Bible. Well, they talk a lot about it. You got the Way, another big movement. See, and all of these things are prevalent everywhere we turn. This is why we need to be concerned about that particular message that's addressed to us as saints for this time. Now, I've said a lot of that to say this. Go with me to Colossians hurriedly. And I think in the next week or weeks ahead, you ought to pray earnestly that God will help you to understand this. Paul, in writing to the church at Colossae, and you can see the heart of Paul as I read here. You kind of get in the atmosphere of this, Paul's heart for those people. I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them in Laodicea, and as for many as have not seen my face in the flesh. That's us, beloved. We have never seen Paul in the flesh. He has a burden. He has a conflict for us. It's coming down the ages. That your hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love unto all the riches, the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery, or the sacred secret of God, Christ. That little phrase, and of the Father and of Christ, is not in the Greek text. Following the word God in verse 3 is just the word Christ. And I call attention to that for a special reason. Notice. He's calling upon these saints that he's praying for to acknowledge this sacred secret of God, which is Christ. And why is that important to you? Not only is this, not only under salvation, but something else. Notice the next verse. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In John 8:32, write that to the side of your Bible right there by that verse. John 8:32 says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God intended for you to be a free man. And you'll never be free until God takes the bondage, the shackles off of you, to act in the light and the power and the might of His Word. And all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. He's the only source. This is why He said in the days of His flesh, I am the way, not a way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the truth, not a truth. I am the truth, and I am the life. He's the only source of what? Life, truth, and the way. None other. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Oh, there's a lot of wisdom and not a knowledge in this old world today. But you know, they all got some rattlesnake poison in them. And they'll kill you. They're highly protein, and protein's very good for you. It's that little bit of poison, though, that'll do you in. The only true wisdom, the only true knowledge, its source is Christ. You remember in the reading of our text this morning, going back, if you will, now, to Ephesians. There's so much material here, beloved. I just wish we could spend the whole day in this. But bear with me as much as I can. Notice there are just two sources of your life. In that prayer of Paul in verse 19, that you might know the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to this word working here is the Greek word energy. The energizing of His mighty power which He energized in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. That's power, beloved. That's real power. Not only did He raise Him up, but notice, beloved, He hath, verse 6 of chapter 2, He hath raised us up together. He made us set together in the heavenlies. That's the same power that's put us there. Going back now in chapter 2, however, notice verse 1. You, that's us, who were dead in trespasses and sins. When? In the time past when we walked according to this course of the world here. That's the aionios of the cosmos. That means the age of this present order. That's how all of us carried on our walk before we come to have a relationship with Christ. We were in, notice, in times past you walked according to the ages of this present order, according, notice who's the energizer, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now energizes in the children of disobedience. You see, beloved, until you come to Christ, until you acknowledge Him and receive Him as your personal Savior, all the energy of your life comes where from? The prince of the power of the air. Notice how interested men are in the things there. We're really getting into it. Yes, sir. And we all had our kind. Look at verse 3, beloved. We all had our manner of life in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. When you walk down the street, and you do walk down the street, and the lusts and the things that you desire are still in that old man you're dragging around with you. He's going along with you. They don't change. That old man hasn't changed. He's just like he always was. God's not reforming that fella. He's dead. That's why Colossians 3 says, for we have died and our life is hid with Christ. That old fellow, though, he still wants everything he always did. He wants the big home, the big car. He wants the bank account. He wants to be a big success. He wants all that the lusts of the flesh can give him. It makes me sick when I hear preachers say, well, old things pass away. Everything becomes new. They don't come new with that old fellow. He's still there always like he always was. True, the new creature in Christ, things are are different, but the old man is still the same as he always was. He hadn't changed one iota. He's your embarrassment. God has forgiven you, beloved. That's a settled question. It's a question of energy. Notice. You either, every day of your life, that 24-hour period that you walk in, it's either energized from above or it's energized from beneath. One way or the other. That's the only two sources there are. The only two ways there is. These things are given us to help us to understand as we move toward the close of this age how much we need Him. Every breath, everything you get involved in should be taken into counsel with Him. And if He doesn't want you involved, He'll close the door. He just did that this week for me. 3 years ago, I was energized again to go to Iraq, and He closed the door. I didn't know that was going to happen, you see. I thought I needed to go. I still think I need to go. Doesn't mean that I won't go, but I won't go till He opens the door. See? I had no idea that I was going to be able... For several years, I've been wanting to get this work on the New Testament ministries printed. I didn't have the money. And just a call like that. Put it on the press, you know. God has His appointment. And let's learn to realize that. Live in the light. That God cares. If He closes the door, He'll open another one. Don't think He'll be bad about it. This is what I want, if I can. I'm really not telling you so many new truths tonight, but I'm trying to bring into a head all the truths that should merge into your life so that you can begin to get some sense of what God is doing. And there's only one source to know. And you cannot be consistent in knowing by just listening to me on Sunday morning. It's something, beloved, that you ought to take seriously in your life every day. Because it's in Him. We just read a while ago. It's in Him. He's the source. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. You only get it secondhand from me if you get anything at all. And there's two kind of folk. And it's pretty, you know, nature has a lot of illustrations for us. You can buy a parrot, or you can buy a minor bird, you can buy what's this white bird that talks some? Huh? Cockatoo, yeah. You can buy these birds. They all like to sit in a cage and you feed them and they mimic words, you know, entertain you. And then there's another kind of bird. It's an eagle. Eagle, you don't put him in a cage. He flies and he's always looking. He's investigating. He's hunting. He's trying to find something. He's not paired in anything. See? Human beings are like that. Some of them are parrots, some of them are eagles. You think about it. An eagle is constantly searching. See? And you know, our Lord Himself, notice, I bore you on eagle's wings. Eagles don't carry parrots. They carry eagles. And they know how to take care of eagles. One of the most marvelous things in the world when an eagle begins to train its young. Seems rather cruel. He takes that little eaglet to the highest peak. And he's been so used to that nest and everything that he screams and hollers and mama comes feed him, you know. But when that time comes, she takes her mighty wing and wham, she just knocks him clean off of that cliff. And he just goes screaming just down through the air and screaming and hollering to high heaven. And she looks at him. And all of a sudden, he tries to flop, and he's... But just before he hits the rocks, back up again. And all the way up, the little eagle said, "What in the world are you doing to me?" We're going back up to the top again, back up to the top. And he gets up there, he feels pretty good now. And all of a sudden, she, off again. Here he goes. Every time. No little eaglet ever hit the rocks. You don't find eaglets that way. They don't die that way. One day, though, that little feller, you know, he gets the swing, and all of a sudden, he's gone. He's gone. And he becomes what? A hunter, a searcher. God wants us to be eagles. I bore you an eagle's wing. God tells us that. Now, it's true, you have to, but somebody has to feed you to start with. See? But you don't put them in a cage. You keep on feeding them. Like a parrot. Just a parrot something. God wants you to be a workman. To show yourself approved in His sight. To take your own wings. I close with a little story. A friend of mine one time, well, a very famous preacher in this country, now dead. He died. And they hired a fella to come take his place. I'll never forget the first thing he said. He said, "Now, some of you may expect me to fulfill the place of Brother Barnhouse. But I'm not wearing his shoes. I'm wearing my own." And that's the way it should be. See, God is not going to be satisfied with saying, "Well, I sat around with that great..." You've heard me refer to Dr. Hull, my old mentor. I had a great respect for him, but some things I didn't agree with him on, see? And it's good. I respect him. We should respect all of God's workmen. Hear, give them a good hearing. But don't become a parrot. Become an eagle. On your own. That's what God wants. Father, thank you for the word and the high calling that we have to be seated in the heavenlies. The firm assurance that there's no afterthought on your part. We pray, Lord, that we'll appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ even more. We realize it was He who left the ivory palaces of glory, became a man in order to make me share in the privilege that are mine today. And if by chance there's somebody here who's never received Christ, God, may put a heart yearn in their life to come to rest in Christ. But to your own, may the assurance that's in Christ Jesus be that one. So the light heart this morning in true gratitude as you enable that one and myself to worship in spirit and truth. Bless our efforts here, Lord, to that end this morning. And these graces for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.